Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick. When does the fire sale begin?
It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. There's Cruz will probably be the first guy to move here before the All-Star break. They'll give him a break and let him get out of here and go try to win. And then you can move Sano to first base, to DH, because you know you're going to play him and you're not going to get rid of him. So then you can play Kirilloff at first base. So you're doing Nelson a favor. And if somebody wants to give you a double-A pitcher that's got a third of a chance, that's good enough. You don't have to hold out for Nelson. And then, the big story, the more I think about it and the way Buxton went about this rehab, I don't think he likes it here. I don't think they'll trade him now. The trade, if they trade him, it'll be next winter when they find out they can't sign him, right?
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't. This is the time of year when you get a lot for pitching in the middle of the season. You don't get a lot for position players, generally speaking.
Yep.
Now, I did hear I think it was Bowden, but no, it wasn't Bowden. It was Kevin Kernan. I heard him talking the other day, and he's really good. He's got his own website now, Inside Ball or something. He used to be at the Post, and he said that Josh Donaldson back to the Braves. Look out for that one because they can't hit. And
I like
it. They're only halfway. They got a bunch. You could get their eighth best prospect or something.
Yeah,
probably.
That's fine.
And they
just take the contract,
get you out from 46 mil and,
as much as possible. Yes.
And they need something because they talk about big expectations. Them and they're under. I think last I looked, they're under 500. And they actually have a good lineup. They got the best player, one of the three best players in baseball, in Acuna, and who's hurt now, I think. But they need some punch, and he was great there. And they'd welcome him home, and he could, he can't be enjoying this.
Hell no.
He cannot be enjoying being 15 games behind and on the way. And and there's a mark. I think there's, you need the right team, and Atlanta would seem to be the right team for him. So then, then it becomes Berríos. If you think you can get more for Berríos, if you're pretty sure you can't sign him. But obviously, as rotten as your pitching is, and the fact he's, 26, and he pitches all the time, you got to pay him. You might have to pay him more than he's worth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just to have somebody, right? And they got Maeda back next year, right? But somebody can have him if they want him for the pennant race, right? Here, if he comes back and pitches okay, he can have. But who stays? I mean, who is you're going to keep Larnick and Kirilloff because they're nobody's going to bust you to get them, and that's something to have for your lineup, in the future.
Yes,
but beyond that. Anybody you want, you can have, probably, right?
Third baseman Kepler, can be gone. Shortstop.
Kepler can be had. Shortstop for sure.
He should be traded.
Yeah.
I'd trade him soon. Yankees. Simmons on the Yankees makes sense. He gives them defense, and he's not great at the plate, but he's competent enough.
God.
And the Yankees are a mess.
I got to say, I love watching him play.
Yeah.
Simmons, because he's in the field. He's daffy.
Yes.
He'll kick one once in a while, but those hands are the damnedest, the best hands I've ever seen on an infield.
And
incredible.
The arms are gone.
But he doesn't use it. He just uses the.
But he'll bobble.
He gets rid of it. Yeah, when
he'll
has
bobble
to,
it and then have to
then
use
he'll
it.
Make it
and it's bang.
Yeah. But generally speaking, his shtick is to just get rid of the ball like that. The other day when they hit that rocket to him, and the guy was for the double play that won the game for him, which they would have urinated away if it hadn't been for that rocket when the infield was in.
Mm-hmm.
But that was unbelievable. That ball was hit 105, and he goes, shoop, boop. The guy was out at third base before he realized that Simmons had caught the ball because he went boop like that. And, his hands are magnificent. You can tell. through the interpretation and his body language and everything, he's goofy. He's a different kind of cat, but unbelievable hands. He'll probably, somebody wants shortstop, they can have him. And then they don't have a shortstop now, though. They don't have the next shortstop.
No.
Because Royce Lewis is.
But I just moved Polanco back there for now.
Oh, yeah. You could.
I don't care.
Play Arise at second base.
Arise or Gordon.
I think Arise is. Yay, Gordon.
I think Gordon's got some potential.
Maybe.
A super utility guy who's not Austin Dillon.
When I first. I was really impressed with him in spring training 19. I said, oh, yeah, he might be a player. Because before that, I hadn't been. And then when I first saw him. You know, when I saw him this spring and then the start of this season, I said, I don't think there's much there except speed. But he's a little better player than, mm-hmm. you know, he can be your second baseman or backup infielder or something. But I got to think 6-7 guys are going. Heck, if Garver gets healthy and somebody needs a catcher, they'll probably trade him. We aren't hearing a lot about Mitch. Because Chip had a good column on him about how vulnerable catches have made themselves, and he agreed to that. And we found out secondhand that the equipment's okay, but that now they're talking about having to come up, you know, with the longer flap if guys are going to catch this way. This will be
for their thigh. Yeah,
this will be one of the advantages for the robo ump. Mm-hmm. They can go back to catching like they're supposed to.
Yes.
Because they can't steal pitches. You know who hates this? Gladdy. Gladdy, I've talked to him a few times, that you can't throw guys out. You're more vulnerable to wild pitches, which, because, you know, most of them are called wild pitches, but they used to get blocked and stopped.
Right, and now you can't move.
You can't move.
You can't shuffle over.
No. And is it really worth it to steal two pitches a game? I think the best guys... they steal 2.6 pitches a game or some damn thing. Is it really worth it to risk the life of your catcher?
Well, here's what drives me crazy, Pat. So it was when pitch framing became in vogue and we talked about it, there were some guys, there was a collection of guys who were really good at sort of subtly, the glove would move subtly, right?
Jason Castro was the main reason he got signed here was he was a pitch framer.
Ryan Jeffers yanks pitches around the zone. It's not framing, it's finger painting.
Yes, and it's very rarely works. If you make a jerky move, the umpire knows what you're doing.
If I was the ump, though, I would tell guys that aren't good, you move the glove, it's a ball.
So, but I just don't think it's worth it to have catchers in that position.
You know what would be?
What you give up, the extra bases you give up to get three pitches is not, to me, is stupid.
Do you know the one thing, as long as we have the umps behind home plate, the one thing that might change it a little bit is if we go back to guys stealing bases. Because you're in no position to throw out guys, but we punted on the stolen base at some point in time.
They're trying to get more running in the game. But I heard a stat yesterday on the radio. I didn't realize Provis, the Houston has fewer stolen bases than the Twins. They don't run at all, you know. But that's
Gordon stole two again. So
yeah,
I mean he can run.
Yeah, he can, and the Twins have run a little more this year because they don't have any option even without Buxton. But a lot of conversation as to what was the advantage of having Buxton play a third game in St. Paul.
Yep.
Once he's demonstrated on Tuesday that he can run, and once that he's demonstrated on Thursday that he can hit a couple of home runs, even if it is in a triple-A ballpark or a minor league ballpark. Give him Friday off. But what's the advantage of having him play St. Paul Saturday instead of Target Field?
I have no idea.
There's no advantage. And if you only want him to play six innings, then have him play six innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the advantage? I wonder if it's him or so them.
Are you hearing that he might not be completely happy, or are you just theorizing?
Just my read on the things. You know, it's absolutely conjecture by me.
We like to call it reckless speculation.
In my view, it's not reckless.
Okay,
I think there's something.
Okay, that's good.
I don't think he's wed to this collection, this team.
I'm sure he's not.
Well, because, you know, let's face it.
They screwed him
18,
over.
Right? Was it 18 that he didn't get called? What year was it he didn't get called up?
18, right?
Yeah.
He was hurt?
Yeah, and he was hurt all year. And the year before, he was the Platinum Glove winner and all that. And they sent him down and tried to get him straightened out. And I actually mentioned this earlier today. We just had Gabe Kalscher, who's a college kid, basically leave the Gophers because of the public criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder about a guy like Buxton. You know, I don't know if he's sensitive. I have no idea. You can't read that. But having, you know, you got family members who pay attention to this stuff, right?
Yes.
And every time somebody writes, boy, they could really use Buxton, and the blogs and everybody else, he can't stay. They should get rid of him. He can't stay healthy. They're putting him in the same category as Snow. And maybe you get sick of it. Maybe you say the hell with him. I'll go someplace and be healthy and be a superstar, and you're going to have to watch me. You know, I'm just guessing. I mean, they can keep him, but it's going to be, if he comes back and plays the rest of the season,
I know where you're going.
It's going to be a big number.
There's two things. Is he is going to want to be paid like he doesn't get hurt, and Barrios is going to want to be paid like an ace.
All you got to do is look at Eden Prairie, for example, the same example. Danielle Hunter wants to get paid like he hasn't been hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's been hurt obviously a lot more, although percentage of games missed is probably fairly similar. You know what I'd forgotten? No, in 2017, he played 140 games. I'd forgotten that. Because not only has he never played 100 beyond that, now maybe a couple of those years he came up, he played 100 if you count Rochester and stuff. Mm-hmm. But his most in the big leagues is since then is 87. You know, so he's played less than half the time. But, I don't know. I just, he's not a guy you trade now, though, you might trade him next winter if the Mets still want to give you, not Syndergaard, but somebody, you know, if somebody still wants to give you two good pitchers. Judd, I finally was compelled to look it up. In 2019, when they won 101 games, they were ninth in the major leagues. Now, this is just ERA in pitching. But ERA is, I'm not saying it's the end-all and be-all.
Right.
But it's a traditional evaluation. Last year, in the mini-season, they were fourth.
Mm-hmm.
This year, 27th.
Yeah.
Every pitcher in baseball, you put them all together, the ERA is 4.10, which is pretty low. These boys are 4.99. That's a run a game.
Yes.
They're playing with a run less a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's for all the analyzing we do about the injuries.
No, it's
there's
not. There's
nothing that has happened on the field that can make up for 4.99 ERA.
Yes.
Nothing has happened.
Well, Pat, look at. They signed Colomé to close. I don't care what they say. They signed him to close.
Hell yes. We didn't know it, but...
He's unpitchable.
Yeah.
He's unusable in important situations. Shoemaker is a disaster. I have no idea what the thought process was on Friday. Rocco can explain it all he wants. Well, I don't get it. Hap's not much better.
No. No, it's no. They made bad, yeah. bad signings. And
this is their own doing.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it is. But here's the other thing about pitching. You know, I mean, you can go through everything, right? Blah, blah, blah. They don't field as well as we thought they were going to. They've been hurt. They haven't had their team. But Tom Kelly did not become an idiot in 1993. Right?
Right.
And then be dumb for 8 years.
Right.
Right?
Right.
No. He had no pitching. When you have no pitching, you lose lots of games. You, no matter what else you have, you cannot make up for having no pitching. Yeah. That's it. You're, you know.
And we can talk about Buxton being hurt, and we can talk about Kepler being hurt.
Oh, boy. They don't
and if you can't pitch, it doesn't matter.
No, they would have had to. Buxton would have had to been worth a run a game to get him to the 10th so they can then lose in the 10th. Yes. You know, he would have had to, you know. He's not worth a run a game. And, man alive, there's nothing worse than a baseball season when you thought it was going to mean something and you got 97 left and it means nothing.
Yes.
I always tell about the early 80s. I'd been a sports columnist since 79, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay, summer, baseball, that's all you got, right? Because Viking camp started and Bud was still around. He wasn't going to... Bud had a three-day mini camp in August 1 just because league rules made him, you know. he would have had him come up August 15th if he had his choice. So we had none of this off-season nonsense, right? And we had, you know, the North Stars that start camp in the end of September or something. But you had – baseball was supposed to carry you through the summer. And, I mean – 81, we had the strike, and it was almost merciful because they were so rotten. Mm-hmm. And that was their – that team, Drew, was going to draw – I think they drew 490, you know, in a – but they played more home games than any team in baseball.
Did they really?
They played more games than any team because the schedule was like
– it was goofy.
They played 11 more games than one team. I looked it up. 11 more games.
Really?
And they hadn't played more home games than anybody. And they drew 490,000. They were just barely going to hit 600 if they'd played a full schedule. I mean, nobody cared. They were terrible.
Hey, speak for yourself. I went to a lot of games as a fan summer, okay?
And people probably
said, I got my mom to take me all the time.
People probably said, hey, mom and kid, do you want a couple of tickets? You know, it cost you $3 in or $4.
Yes.
But, I mean, I went to Madden's for croquet. I went to Hayward for rolling on the logs and everywhere. Whatever you could find, there was nothing to write. That might have been the year. Maybe it was a different year. Wicker was here. We were sitting out at Maynard's, which wasn't Maynard's Inn, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Having a beautiful night like this. My wife and him and I. We're sitting there having something to eat. And every time a new waitress or somebody, he'd come by, he'd ask, hey, you got the twin score? And like his way to agitate people was to ask him if they knew what the twin score was because they were playing that night. He thought it was hysterical because people were getting offended that he was asking him what the twin score was. It might have been 82, I'm not sure, but... 81 or 82. That's how bad it was. I mean,
yeah, but the thing with those clubs,
we didn't know.
Didn't expect much from them.
No. That's the difference.
This is torture because we thought it was going to be fun.
It's similar to 2011, but actually, I believe expectations were higher for this team this time than they were in 2011. Because 2011, we had them for a while, and we thought they were. Everybody I saw in spring training that year said, can we beat the Yankees this year, Rusi? Everybody. And I'd say, I'd watch it. I'm not so sure about the pitching here. And, this year, I mean, I was sold to a pretty good degree. I remember Dustin came up to me, like the middle of camp, and Dustin's not out beating the drum about how wonderful they are all the time, Dustin Morrison, he's good, and you can have a can of conversation. And they were doing something in spring training. Came up and said, "This team's pretty good." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, I think they got to they can hit, and you know, and Maeda looks great, and Barrios looks great, and you know, you'd like to have more starting pitching, but you know, Pineda's always been good, you know,
yep.
when he pitched, and
yep."
And now you look at this and say, oh, well, they're old and slow,
yep.
You know? And they had no idea that Sanoa was. I mean, we're talking about the revival of Sanoa. Excuse me, I'm talking nonstop here. We're talking about the revival home runs. He's hitting 185, still 185. I looked it up. 35 points lower than Rob Deere's career average. And Rob Deere
Rob
was
Deere's
a joke.
Offended by that.
Rob Deere was a joke.
What's Balboni hit?
I'm sure Balboni's killing him. But
Yes.
Anyway, it's and we saw a perfect example of what they've done to fan interest on this homestand. You got your best homestand of the year.
Yesterday was gorgeous.
You got your best homestand of the year. You get 17,000 three times for the Yankees. And beautiful. Then tell me, everybody's working. No, they're not. They're not graduating. They don't have graduations over and all those other excuses. People just don't give a damn.
Yeah, I think they announced 19 plus yesterday. And they can put, 27 in there?
No, I think they're unlimited.
No, I think they're still, it's still capped. But they're not getting close to the cap.
No.
That's not the thing. The point is, they're not.
No. And nobody's,
on a gorgeous Sunday,
and
you
by
should
the
sell
way,
that place
95, 90% of the population is no longer worried about the virus. So,
right.
90% of us, at least one of us,
You're vaccinated. You should be fine.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that aren't vaccinated by now have never been worried about it. Right. That's not keeping them away from a game. So.
Right. No, this is a disaster.
Yeah, it is
a
the worst possible
disaster.
Because I can guarantee you, these guys were talking excitedly when they got it moved to 10,000, and that they talk to them and they'd just be enthused about people were going to be so hungry for baseball when they could get back in.
You by the way, on Twitter had one of the great trolling bits. I mean, there've been a lot of them from you, but your. Your Bally Sports North.
Well, I stole that from you and
I know, but then you came
Mackie
up with
two,
but then you
degree.
Came up with several great singers.
I got going. In fact, I did five of them, I think, and then I'm driving back and I said, "Oh God, I forgot to have a Dick Bremer one because he's not working this weekend." And I heard him talking about going fishing.
Okay,
so that they were discouraged. It was kind of a downer that Dick would rather go fishing than watch.
He never takes a game off.
No, and he says, "Yeah, hell yeah,
enough of these.
Get Tony the Pony in here. I don't give a damn," because I think they were on National.
Saturday, they were on Fox
National. Then, okay, if I take Sunday
But Dick's
off.
Never off.
Never off.
I don't think
never.
He's missed a game since the Victory Sports days.
I got to think the joy of doing games, though, is the fact that you don't get on a plane and fly out. You're sitting in that same damn press
box. By the way, can we get guys back out?
That's ridiculous.
But can we get guys back out now?
That's cheap SOB. It's now cheapness, right?
Yes.
It's not health. It's cheapness.
Well, for both teams...
By the way,
radio and television.
Yes.
Get them out.
By the way, at the Saints game, the guy from Omaha was there when I was
there.
You
know why? Because he can get on the Storm Chasers bus.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if we could have the guy from Omaha, giving us all the virus, why?
You know what?
Get Gladdy back on the road where he belongs, damn it. He's got friends.
This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but seven of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason, to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com.
And glad he wants to be on the road as much as
that's
possible.
That's the fun of it. I mean, plus, how boring does it get not being able to... To have them in Anaheim and you're not there looking at that, Safeco is a great ballpark.
And instead you're looking at the TV screen.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Recreation.
It's cheap ass behavior. And I think Bally pays their tabs, right? The Twins name the announcer, but Bally pays their tabs.
I think that's correct, yes.
And they're just using it to save money,
No expense reports is probably a thrill to them.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. They get a
but yes, get these guys across the board.
Yeah,
announcers,
everywhere. Yeah.
Get them back out.
I think is it still an MLB thing that they discourage you? I know they originally discouraged from having.
You know, that's a good point.
What are we doing in the press box now? By the way,
MLB has told the employees they need to continue to wear a mask.
What a bunch
but the
of,
Twins have said if you are vaxxed and you're comfortable, don't do it.
What
so
a bunch of
I quit.
Idiots.
I stopped wearing
yeah,
mine.
What a bunch of idiots, though. What
does still, it surprise you?
No.
This is Rob Manfred's world.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
But what
yeah.
I'm saying is, it seems to me we still got everybody spread out in there instead of maybe having one empty seat between people.
A little bit, yeah.
The, of course, nobody wants to.
But
go,
no, but no one's
nobody
there,
wants
yeah.
to go to the game, so it doesn't make any difference.
I think the Strohs traveled two guys, and so yeah, there was a ton of room.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
Did they bring a few? They,
oh, yeah. Entire second row.
Good.
And by the way, I have to tell you.
Didn't they just get their ass kicked by
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Back-to-back losses.
They win Friday and then
no, they didn't play Friday. Off
what?
Day Friday. Off day Friday. I bleep you not. They played That's Saturday funny. And Sunday, and they got waxed on Sunday. But let me tell you, the Zoom call of Zoom calls, okay? Because, you know, Zoom calls suck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we all agree on that, right? After Chapman came in, four guys, right?
Oh, boom, yeah.
boom, 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 boom,
boom,
boom. One of the beat people for the Yankees, a woman, and I don't know who it was.
Marley Rivera.
No. It was from one of the papers. Aroldis is doing the Zoom call, right?
Oh, Aroldis
is doing it. Good for him, right?
That's one thing we wouldn't have had.
No.
You know.
But here's the best part. She, in the most delicate way, asks him if he couldn't cheat, and that's why he ran into trouble.
Oh, really?
And it was so New York.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's like, you know, with all of the restrictions going on now, or the, you know, could you not?
Could
and
you
she
not?
Said, she said, she got done and said, thank you. They got done. She turned around and said, if I show up shot in Philly, you'll know who did it.
Yes, right. That good for her. Hooray. Hooray.
That was great.
That's great. So he can't use, what's the name of our substance? What's this stuff that tears your skin
Spider
off?
Tack?
Spider Tack.
Spider Tack, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But anyway, yeah. So, yeah. But she asked, so with all this going on, did you have to reconstitute how you use the baseballs?
You know what the damnedest thing in baseball is? The Tampa Bay Rays, I say it all the time.
Oh.
They won, what was it, like 17 out of 18, but they had like 6 weeks where they lost five games or something. I don't get it. They're 33-5 or something.
They traded Willy Adames to the Brewers.
For
nothing, right?
Yeah.
Adames has gone on a tear.
Yes.
The Brewers are now back because of him.
Yes.
And Tampa gave him away,
yeah.
And Tampa's still great.
They got one good prospect out of it, and they got, but I watched him the other night, and this Brosu, who's like a backup utility right-handed hitter,
yep.
He was playing short. I thought they had some phenom that they wanted, but this kid was playing, this guy, Brosu, was playing
he
shortstop.
He played last year in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, was playing shortstop, but they're always looking to, I think if they lose 5%, at a position or something, or 10%, and they can get something good for them, they're going to, it's incredible. I don't get how it happens.
But how does it always work?
I don't know.
That's what I don't understand.
Well, it didn't, because it was 18 that they were terrible, or 17 maybe.
They fell off the map.
Whatever year they were going to start spring training that they talked about the opener. That's they started, and they were going to do it once around. They were going to have it do it once, and it was like I went up to Port Charlotte to write a column about this incredibly, you know, revolutionary thing of not having five starters.
Yep.
And you know, 20 minutes later, we were, you know, having every team in baseball was trying to do it. So they're amazing how they get away with it. They've had one bad year in the last 10, probably, mm-hmm. 8 or 10.
But it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, you watch them and you say, okay, that it's not going to work now.
Yeah, and now you're looking, Glasnow's got the best arm in the league, probably, and they're going to have to trade. They're going to trade him. You know, they won't be able to pay him.
That would be nice, finding pitching. That would be a nice thing to have.
Yeah, the trouble is, you can't trade him your guys making money. That's the trouble. You can't, you know, you can't, like Kepler, if Kepler was still good, they'd be a guy type of player they'd be interested in, but not when he's only 1 year from being a free agent or something like that. So,
right.
Yeah, Glasnow, he'll end up going somewhere, and the Dodgers will take him, too, and get three pitchers. The damnedest thing going on outside of them is also the Giants. Now, they're starting to but 2 days ago, they had the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm. There's some great stories.
Lamont Wade's playing
great. Lamont Wade's been fantastic.
Yes.
The Cubs desperately want to dump Chris Bryant.
Yes.
Like, they thought we're going to be bad. It's going to be great.
Yeah, they're first. They're leading, right?
They just swept the Cardinals.
Oh, Cardinals. Did they win? They get beat last night again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got swept.
Cardinals have lost 10 out of 11.
Yes, Cardinals are playing terrible. But the Cubs were going to trade Chris Bryant. They were going to get a head start. They were going to dismantle, and now they're all excited.
Yeah.
Or the fans are. The Cubs aren't.
Well, they're going to they might not be able to avoid winning the division.
I know.
The Reno's playing good just in time to kick the hell out of the Twins a week from now. Cincinnati. All of a sudden, they're starting. Mm-hmm. They were terrible, and now they're starting to win, too. So, anyway, it's weird. What else we got going on?
Explain one thing, though. Do you recall it was Falvey and Levine probably about 3 years back? They claimed every piece of crap for the bullpen that would come off the wire, and they would make all these moves, okay? And you mocked them, and it was funny.
David Hale, he pitched three innings. Goodbye.
But my question is this. This bullpen's so bad.
I don't know.
What happened to that?
They're all in St. Paul.
I guess, but I mean, there's got to be guys on the wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you take a stab?
Yeah, I look every day and say, well, then maybe this guy, you know?
Yeah.
What the hell? Dialis Guerra or something.
But I mean, hey, Colome, you just screwed up. He's not good. He can't pitch anymore. It's not working.
No, and I will say, I was slightly suspicious when I was reading about him some after they signed him a while, about how he threw the cutter 60% of the time and he had lost velocity.
Mm.
the previous year, he wasn't throwing as hard as he did. And every time somebody had told me that before the guys with cutter lose velocity before Phil Hughes had his fantastic year, in which he threw 70% cutters, and the next year he could hit you in the forehead and not hurt you. And so that's one of my things now, is not because I'm an expert on it, but if I hear a guy's cutter heavy and has lost 2 miles an hour of his fastball, I remember I said it to Suhan, because Suhan said something about how they'd improved their bullpen, and I said, watch out for Colome.
Interesting.
I said, watch out for that, because his velocity's down, and his out pitch is the cutter, and that cutter, if you don't throw it hard, sits there, you know, it sits there and let's go,
right?
You know, so.
But if you're a halfway decent player on this team right now, and you get on that plane last night, and the shoe and Colome walk by you, what the hell are you thinking? You know, and at this point I see, well, the Twins don't have options. They've got, that's BS. You got some options. The shoe can't, you know.
Okay, the kid pitching good. Now, their best pitching prospect, in my opinion, is Canarino. Better than Duran. But, of course, he now has a bad elbow in Cedar Rapids. But he's the guy they all loved in spring training. I watched him pitch 2-3 times. One day I watched him throw BP to the first teamers who didn't make the trip. And they had him and this Josh Winder, who's a level ahead of him. And they were taking a hard look at these guys, not to make the team, but as you could just tell, they were looking at these guys as two future starters, maybe next year. And now Canarino he started late for Cedar Rapids beforehand. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was the elbow then. But he'd pitched 3 times and was unhittable. And now this Winder's pitching real good at Wichita. But they still won't. He might end up here in St. Paul, but I don't think they'll get him to. There's no sense in bringing him to the big leagues,
right,
I guess, with this operation. But But beyond that, that's the, you know, the biggest shock with this team is their development of younger pitching is brutal. This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli Bikes and Yamaha Power Assist Bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained.
I know.
Brutal.
Alcala's
talked about, like, he's got a live arm, but he's mediocre.
And he's also not young.
No, he's 26 or something?
Yeah, he's mid-20s.
Yeah, well, actually, Winder and Canarino are 23 and 4 because they all, you know, everybody's a little older because they all missed a year last year.
Right.
But, you know, these are guys that, you know, I guess if you take away the fact that they didn't pitch last year, it's not a surprise they aren't in the big leagues. But really good 24-year-olds should be in the big leagues.
Yes.
Or 23-year-olds. They should be in the big leagues. If they're not there yet, then what's it? I think Duran's what? I think he's 23, so maybe he's not. But, I mean, he's not going to be a big league starter this year because he's coming back from some injury, and he's pitched when he started. They had him, like, pitch three innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think this is 2011.
But do you think it's the start of it?
I think it's the start of
I hope to God
you're
wrong.
I think it's the start of four years in the abyss.
Well, what happens to Falvey then? I mean, that's a lot. If you're going to put him in the abyss for 4 years when this guy was hired, what, 2017?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, they'll say, hey, we had the team, 101. But I think they, they got to. They can't just baseball. Look at Chris Davis, the CHRIS Chris Davis, got released today by Texas. 2015 to 2018. The 2016 to 18, he hit 48, 43, and 41, drove in 335 runs, right?
Yep.
And now. He's 33 now, so he was 30 when he had his last good year. Now, the variety and velocity of pitching, he can't handle it. He's been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And spin rate or whatever it is, he's just like the other Chris Davis. And he just got released today because he wasn't making that much money. But that's Sano. You know, that's Sano. He can't, unless somebody throws him a. Now, he went out and hit that ball to right field on, a fastball away. I was shocked. And that was good. But, I think more than anyone, the all-or-nothing guys are the ones that are really being eaten up by this variety of pitching more. Maybe even not only velocity, but you never see the same guy three times.
Right.
Right?
You know, right.
I mean.
Well, and Miguel has no approach at all ever.
No.
He's just going to go up there and.
But if I'm somehow Nelly Cruz has managed to do it at age 40, which is, I mean, he's cold and hot and he's not what he was,
but you know,
he's
got
still
a plan.
Acceptable.
Yes.
And, but boy, if I got those guys, those all or nothing guys, unless they've, unless they get the gook out of the game, you know, the putting the stuff on the ball, the globs of.
Yep.
I don't think those guys, that's not the way to go. That's not the way for a team to play baseball anymore, I don't think. Because Houston hits home run. Houston doesn't hit that many home runs, but they hit the ball hard to various places and put guys on base. So that's the way to go, I think.
Well, and when you watch Cruz go to the plate, so Cruz works the count and knows how to, right?
Yep.
Miguel, you can see the wheels churning in his head at times. You can see when he gets a couple of balls now, he thinks to himself, I wonder if I can just walk. But he's not working the count.
Mm-hmm.
He's like me as a kid because I was afraid to swing and look stupid. He's just thinks, can I get four balls here? Mm-hmm. Where Cruz is actually trying to finesse the count. And yeah, you're right. And I don't know. The problem is he has no value. And he's a better first baseman now. He's turned himself a far better fielder than he is at the plate.
He's still average at best.
But he's made some plays. But I'm just saying, I'm pleasantly surprised he can play first base. But at the plate, it's a disaster.
But he's 28. He's going to get worse.
Yeah.
He's going to look at the Davis brothers, Chris Davis and Chris Davis. Look at those guys. They're similar type hitters, except one was a lefty. And they got worse. They're going to get worse. He's going to get worse. He's not going to get better. He's going to get worse. You always think if he can only get back to what he was the second half, whatever the hell it was, 17 or 18. He's not. He's not. He's only going to get worse, in my opinion. So, you know, because he isn't going to get smaller.
No, he won't.
No, none of us get smaller.
No, we don't. We try. We might try.
We get smaller briefly.
Yeah, and then we get bigger again. Because we think to ourselves, well, we're smaller now.
Anytime we got smaller. When we get bigger, we got bigger than we were before we got smaller.
And when we got smaller, we think we can go back to our previous lifestyle because now
we're smaller.
I got some wiggle room, and the next thing you know, you got no wiggle room.
That's what he did. He got smaller in 2020. He showed up for spring training.
Unfortunately, he had gashed his heel.
But he still was in good shape by his standards. He was probably 280. And he comes back last year. And he went back to wherever he went, to the Dominican or wherever, and said, hey, I got smaller. I think I'll go back to my old lifestyle. Oh, he's got to be over 300.
Three what? Yeah, he's three something.
He's three something. Yeah, he's over 300. This is a huge human being.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's a massive man. Yeah. He's a football player as far as like an
Yes, he is. And lineman. I would never say, he's got to get down to 260 or something. But if he could get it 280. But it's also not a swing to catch up. With a good fastball above the belly, it's not too many guys can do it anyway, but it takes him a while to load up, you know. So
Mudcat Grant,
he was I never covered him, you know. It was before my time. I was sitting in the left field bleachers when he hit a home run, not very far away, maybe 15 feet from where it landed. One of the great moments in Twins history, game six, because you go out to L.A., they got him on those bricks out there because that team was the battle of athletic ability between the Twins and the Dodgers, and speed was rather alarming.
Yep.
And Twins had Harmon playing third. They were just chopping the ball over his head, you know, Wills and those guys just chopping the ball over his head. And the Twins, they made the Twins look like jackasses for three games in Dodger Stadium. So they come back and you're kind of depressed, and all of a sudden Mudcat beats them in game six, goes nine, pitching on 2 days rest, by the way, just like Koufax did in game seven. And
Rocco would never approve.
And Mudcat, that was like, okay, Mudcat, good pitcher, but that was the outlier. That was that was his best year ever. And a great pitcher, and probably would have won the Cy Young if they gave two back then, but they only gave one.
Mm-hmm.
And Koufax had 10 shutouts and 29 complete games or something. So that was hard to make a case for Mudcat. And the next year, by the way, Cott would have won it for sure. He was 25-7, but again, that was the last year they only gave it to one, and it was Koufax again. So then in 67. Lonborg ended up winning it for Boston, and I think Lonborg won it in 67. And
yep.
And Cott, I was talking to Cott the other day about Mudcat, and he said, yeah, I always told Lonberg he stole that one because, he won it because of, it would have been hard to win a Cy Young as an American League pitcher, though. Gibson, Marischal,
yeah,
Koufax, and Drysdale. They all four of those guys pitched in the All-Star game here in 65. So, but yeah, Mudcat was a really good guy. I wrote a piece on him in 05. I got him out.
It was really good. I read it again.
He was out at Northland, that business hotel out there, making some kind of an appearance, or there was somebody doing something. Maybe they had a luncheon there that day. And sat down with him for an hour, and he was great, man. He was terrific. And I never got into him, though. In the book, it's in the book, but think about his upbringing in this little redneck town of 1,300 and the segregated Florida. I'd forgotten the story that was in that column I wrote about how they were going to send him home. They saw him try to play shortstop for 3 days, and they were going to send him home. And who was it? Red Ruffing was the pitching coach there, and says, "Tell him you're a pitcher. Tell him." So Mudcat says, "They say you got it. Yeah, we're going to send you home, son." He says, "Man, it's too bad you never got to see me pitch." And then
that's genius.
Then Red Ruffing and somebody else took him in a bathroom, and taught him how to look like a stand on a mound and stuff.
Right.
And then Red Ruffing told him, first guy up, see if you can hit him in the head. You know, throw as hard as you can and just knock him down. And Mudcat's story is, he knocked the guy down. All these other guys got terrified. He had 12 strikeouts, and they kept him around. And that's how he
jumping
stayed
back
around.
And
I'm sure that Mudcat's stories had a little more flavor, flair than might have been expanded, but a really good guy, and we loved him, and I'd forgotten about him singing that "What a Wonderful World" at Harmon's memorial service, and his voice didn't have much left then, but
right, no, it was good though.
Yeah, Mudcat and the Kittens. I think there were three good-looking gals he got behind him, and he made appearances after that 65 season and got a little bit of a lounge career out of it.
That's awesome.
How about this story, though, that and this was in that column I wrote, too, about how he met Trudy, the gal from Austria, when he was out, he said, somewhere in California. Was he a minor league club for the Cleveland or something? I don't know. But he started dating Trudy, and they warned him not to, that a black man dating a white girl in the mid-50s was 50, 57 or so. They warned him.
Unfortunately,
not to.
It's not surprising
at
all.
I think it was in California, too. It wasn't like
the teams were probably very concerned about.
Oh, yeah. Well,
anything.
What Tony told me was, and both Cott and Tony told me that, Tony told me they were still in Florida in 65, staying in a different hotel, the black guys.
Wow.
And Mudcat became a very outspoken person.
Yeah, what was the
that
thing I saw? Did he get suspended with Cleveland for inserting something into the anthem or something? Did you see that story?
Oh, I didn't know, but he was a civil rights activist.
Yeah, I mean,
this was in the middle of it, 64, 65.
Yep.
And Earl was, his big buddy, of course. I looked it up. Earl was done at 32.
Is that what he?
The last year here, 32, because they just beat
the last year, 60.
67. No, 68, because then they brought in Rose. No, yeah, 68. Well, they traded for Roseboro, so yeah.
And you said the Mudcat trade of the Dodgers was actually a good, worked out well.
Great trade. Baranowski was, a great.
And he just died.
Baranowski was the stopper on two teams that won 97 and 98 games.
Yeah.
And the first division title teams. They got him. They got Bob Miller, who was okay. He was helped in the relief. And Roseboro caught for 2 years. He wasn't great, but they didn't have a catcher. So, he was, that was a really good trade for him. And Mudcat. Mudcat later on became a reliever for Oakland and did okay, but he couldn't make it as a Dodger, and Zoilo was cooked.
What happened with Zoilo?
I think Zoilo might have not been 20. When he was our 20-year-old shortstop, they weren't checking birth certificates.
He might have been the 24-year-old shortstop.
He was already married, you know, with a kid or two.
Okay.
And a lot of that was Cuban Catholicism, because these guys had the mothers who wouldn't let them get friendly with any gals unless they were, you know, the legend was, I think Tony told me the stories about some of the guys when they'd get a date, mom would ride in the back seat.
Oh, good God.
Didn't trust them. Mom would ride in the back seat.
Mom would chaperone, huh?
That was hardcore Catholicism down there. And, but Zoilo, I think, was, you know, 3 years older maybe or something. But when he went, man.
Calvin made some good trades, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, Calvin. And, you know, he had George Brophy. And when his brother Sherry was alive, they were a pretty good organization. Sherry was a pretty good baseball man.
The one I'll never get, the Danny Thompson trade. How do you trade a guy who's terminally ill?
Terminally ill.
How do you trade him? And you actually get guys.
Leukemia.
Smalley came back in that deal?
Well,
or is that not the Smalley deal?
Yes, it was a Smalley trade. And he told Texas it was worse than trading Danny, who was going under, who was, by the way, on every day off, would go down to Mayo Clinic for experimental leukemia treatment and have these god-awful scars and things on him. I mean, you'd see him and he'd try to play with these awful things on him. And not only did Calvin trade him, he made them take him. He made that if you want Blylevin, you have to take Danny.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's how he ended up in the trade. And I think he died that.
He died very short. He didn't live
fall,
much longer.
I mean, I don't think he did.
So
that, Calvin made him take him. Because to get rid of Danny, he couldn't have been making seven.
But can you imagine doing that to a guy now who's trying to play through a terminal illness?
You think you might get criticized on Twitter?
Yeah, you think that'd go well?
I think Mrs. Thompson might go on Twitter and say, they're, you know, not only are we trading, not only they traded him, they made him go to Texas and he was getting treated at Mayo Clinic. So he had to pay for his own flights back here to Mayo Clinic.
Go play in the Texas Heat at that Erector Set ballpark they used to have.
One of the greatest guys of all time, Danny Thompson. God, he was funny. He was unbelievable. Even when he was sick and, you know, people got to recall that leukemia was damn near incurable.
Yes.
Back then. And 1976, it was, you know, the great progress we've made with it. I mean, people still die from it, but this was not that adult. It was old time hardcore leukemia, but the famous story there, which Thompson always told, was it showed up in his end of the season. I think it showed up in his end of the season physical when they left that something wrong with his blood, or maybe it was because he was lost energy and they tested him or something. So they took his blood, and Doc McKenzie was the internist there. Doc's bedside manner lacked a little bit. He was a friend of mine. I went duck hunting with him a few times, but he was a doctor who didn't like blood. But but McKenzie. McKenzie calls him up and says, "Well, you gotta be in the hospital tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. or 8 o'clock. You gotta go in the hospital tomorrow. We gotta start working on you." And he said, and Danny says, "Why?" And he says, "Leukemia."
What?
Leukemia. What did you expect? There was leukemia. We told you it might be leukemia.
Oh,
you
God.
Know? Leukemia.
Nice bedside manner.
God, it was unbelievable. He and Bobby Randall were the short and second baseman there. I call them the Sod brothers because Danny Thompson was from Oklahoma, you know.
Yep.
And out rural Oklahoma someplace. And Bobby Randall was from Gove, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Graduated with a class of four in Gove, Kansas.
Really?
All boys. And he said, his great quote he gave me one day, I could have kissed him, "The senior prom was a bummer." Because they had four boys. He's the guy that they put it second when they move Rodney to first, because the making the double play was like the holy grail of second base play then, right? Mm-hmm. Now we don't care.
Well, and guys would also go into you back then and try and take you out.
And so. Randall would take care. He got flipped.
That's
and,
how Rod got hurt.
Yeah. And first, he got a bad knee right early, like 68 or something. But Rodney would give it the flip, you know, and wasn't real good at turning the double play. And Frank Willis, he finally got him moved to first base in sometime in 75, I think, at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe 74, and we got him moved to first base. They had a promotion in September of whatever year it was. Rod Carew moves to first night. They had it because they were so desperate. It had to be 74 because that's the year that they drew nobody. That was my first year on the beat. Their total attendance was 690. If you had I've looked at some of the old stuff and it said like, Before a sizable Friday night crowd of summer to Friday night crowd of 10,111 or something. And Rod Carew moves to first night. It didn't pack the building.
No, so I'm sure it didn't.
But anything.
Did you get a certificate?
They were big on keychains.
Yep.
Big on keychains.
Big on keychains, yeah.
Fan appreciation night, always a keychain, and then somebody get a car. Get a car. They have a drawing.
I think the car went through the Metrodome days, didn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I think the cars still, were... Yeah, probably. But they used to drive out.
You know what I missed? Jacket Day. You remember Jacket Day? You get those cheap ass, I don't even know what they were, plastic jackets.
Nothing ever beat Halter Top Day, though.
Oh, that was another good one.
We loved Halter Top Day. I don't think we could get away with Halter Top Day. It was nice and hot last week. It would have been a good day for Halter
Top Day. Halter Top Day was a great one.
Yes, I remember Don Cassidy.
And everyone would put on, if they got a Halter Top, they'd go in the bathroom and put on the Halter Top. And that was the 70s, so.
Bob Doder was the UPI guy, and he had a... He didn't have a left. I don't know what was wrong with his left eye. Couldn't see out of his left eye, but he must have been taken out or something. And he had a patch on it. He wore a patch. And one of the great characters of all time. I love that guy. He sat down at the far end of the press box, but I'd go down and shoot the breeze with him. We were sitting at the other end. This was a big, long press box for baseball.
Yep.
And Doder... he's a guy that nicknamed Hoskin Powell Neutral.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake invites you to play their award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic experience that both beginner and expert golfers will enjoy. The Meadows at Mystic Lake features over 7,000 yards of pristine bent grass fairways, trees and greens, surrounded by acres of wildflowers and prairie plants. This oasis, just minutes away from downtown Minneapolis, provides a magical escape to nature. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community.
Because he played a neutral, and he nicknamed Pete Mackinnon Clank. Clank. He was Clank. But Doder, when one of those good-looking girls would walk by in the halter top, he'd always pick up his patch. He'd always hold it. Like he's trying to get a real good look at this gal with his bad eye. He'd pick up his patch. He was hilarious. He died, man. He didn't make it to 60, I don't think. He got cancer, but they had the great promotions out there. The bats and
the bats the entire game.
And then the rust would start coming off the
Halsey and Herb would go nuts.
Halsey especially. Halsey hated it. That's one reason Halsey would be like screaming on the broadcast. It was hilarious, but they'd bang on the... They'd, give out the bats beforehand instead of
the one
afterwards.
The players had to hate was Camera Day. You remember Camera Day? They'd send the fans would go down the warning track areas. Right.
And those things always drew fairly well.
Yeah. And you had to take your Polaroids with the players. Yes. The players had to hate those.
Yeah, but you couldn't beat Camper's Weekend.
Yeah, Camper's Weekend preceded me. I have no recollection. I think it was out. I think some of the stories that you told about Camper's Weekend.
Alcohol was involved.
Yes.
Camper's Weekend.
I'm sure it was.
Yes, there was. I've told you the story about the friend of mine who we shall go nameless, but a visiting writer who met a young lady at Camper's Day after the game, we'd go out there and drink after midnight or so and cavort with the crazies. And the game starts the next day at 115 or one whatever it was. He's not there, the visiting writer. And you could see out kind of into center field a little bit. You could see into center field.
Yeah.
And it's about the second inning, you can see this lonely figure with a typewriter coming coming way off in the distance. And those apartments Sid's owned in center field.
Yeah.
He was awakened on a couch on there by the national anthem. The national anthem wafted across. And the young lady was gone, but her daughter was sitting there staring at him. So when he woke up in the morning,
oh, God bless the 70s.
Yes, it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was.
Well, you had the good sense to find a companion who lived right by the ballpark.
Yes, he did. And, you know, those things happened. What the heck?
Oh, God. Okay.
That's like Augie when we were in Oakland and Augie just took the trip to drink and raise hell. And this is in the 70s. Augie meets a gal in a bar, and she says, "Are you a player?" Yeah, and Augie didn't look like a player. You know, he was not tubby or anything, but he just was not a physical presence.
And right.
So he's caught by surprise, but he figures he's a player, but it has to be a player that she wouldn't. You know, you can't say, "Yeah, I'm Rod Carew" or something right. like that. So he said he was Bill Butler.
Genius.
He said he was Love Bill it. Butler. Yeah. And we always, and apparently it was a Hispanic lady that he met out there, a young Hispanic girl he met out there. And she called him Bill Butler and with an accent. And for years we'd call him, he'd walk in the bar and it's Bill Butler.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it was the 70s. We can be excused for all
your debauchery.
There was a war going on. Yep. Vietnam. We all hated it. We protested. We were all, we were learning. Some of us weren't taking drugs, LSD. Some of us just drank. And I'm very proud I just drank. I didn't take LSD.
Stayed away from hallucinogenics.
Although, don't you wish you'd tried it once? Never tried it.
I've never tried LSD.
But.
Yeah, and I heard some bad stories about shrooms, so I avoided those, too.
Yeah, right.
I had some friends that tried shrooms.
And I couldn't smoke dope because I couldn't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, it's
either.
Overrated.
I've
given that a shot.
I just settled for liquor. But the 70s are, I've said this, I'm glad I got sober 40 years ago. But I wouldn't trade. But I'm glad I had the experience.
You picked a good decade to be drunk.
I'm glad I had the experience.
But you picked a good decade,
yes,
too.
Yes, and the kids came out good, and, they came out okay.
Yeah, your kids are great.
Nobody got hurt, and,
Father of the years, you said.
Never got a DWI, which is sad commentary.
I was going to say.
On the police.
That's an oversight by the police department.
I once wrote a column on that saying that, there are several police departments between St. Paul and Prior Lake that should be very embarrassed. But anyway.
All right.
What the hell? We had to talk about something outside how rotten the Twins are, and there's not much going on.
All right.
So, all right.
Talk to you.
Yes. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.